striking features of this introduction to the Sermon on the Mount is the progression of thought that we find in the Beatitudes. There's an order here. We should not think when the Lord said, "Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are," that he was just setting these out in a haphazard fashion. There is a divine order. There is a sequence that is intended to convey to us something by way of spiritual truth. And when you take the first three of the Beatitudes, you'll discover that they are emphasizing a negative aspect. They're emphasizing what the Christian has failed to be. Verse number 3, the Lord says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And that is the attitude that recognizes our spiritual bankruptcy, that we have nothing to present unto God. You think of how many religious people there are in this country tonight, and they think that they have something that they can present to God, something that will commend them to God's favor, something that will earn God's favor. The Lord Jesus said that his kingdom, his people are characterized by poverty of spirit. They are poor in spirit. They do not have anything of themselves. They do not have anything that can commend them to God's favor or earn God's favor. That's negative. You can see that. Poor in spirit. And then following on from that in verse number 4, the Lord speaks about the mourning. Again, that is negative. They're mourning over their sin. It is their sin that has brought them into that state of spiritual bankruptcy. It is their sin that has made them spiritually poor in the sight of God. And so they mourn over their sin. Then in verse 5, the Lord speaks of meekness. And meekness has to do with the attitude that we have of ourselves. It is our attitude concerning self. Meekness is that attitude that recognizes in the sight of God we are nothing. In the sight of God we are but lost sinners. There's nothing of which to boast. Nothing that we can pride ourselves in. You think of Paul when he said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." A lot of religious people glory in their religion, glory in their baptism, glory in their confirmation, glory in all their good works. Paul says, "I have nothing to glory in." Why? Because he had this spirit of meekness. The spirit of meekness is having a true opinion of ourselves, recognizing what we truly are in the sight of God. So you can see these first three Beatitudes are emphasizing a negative aspect. Nothing to present to God. Mourning over sin. And then the development of a true estimation of ourselves in the sight of God. So that like Isaiah, we say, "Woe is me, I am undone." These first three Beatitudes are negative. But then you come to the fourth one in verse number 6. And the Lord says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, there is the sense we have no inherent righteousness of our own. We have no righteousness of our own. But once we are born again of the Spirit of God, there is placed within us a hunger, a thirsting, to be conformed to God's standard. This is something positive. This is indicating a work of grace that has been done within the heart. And then you can see the fifth and the sixth Beatitudes are equally positive. They are merciful. Merciful because they've received mercy from God. And they show that mercy in turn to others. And now in verse number 8, pure in heart. These are all positive attributes, positive characteristics. The Lord is painting here on the canvas of Scripture. He's painting the portrait of those who belong to his kingdom. That's what this sermon is all about. The Lord is saying, "Do you want to know who my subjects are? Do you want to know who the members of my kingdom are? Well, here's their likeness. Here's their characteristics. They're poor in spirit. They mourn over their sin. They are meek. They have a true estimation of themselves. Being born again of the Spirit, they now hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are merciful. They are pure in heart. These are the traits, the marks of those who belong to his kingdom. The Lord is essentially setting out here what they are. The members of his kingdom. Remember, there's only two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Satan. And we're all born into this world as members of the kingdom of darkness. And there must come a point in time when we are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And when we become members of his kingdom, these are the traits, these are the characteristics that we will possess. This is the portrait then of the new nature. We're coming tonight to the sixth beatitude. And if you look at it there in verse number 8, you'll discover one of the most profound statements in all the Bible. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a statement that is. And I want just for a few moments to ponder these words that came from the lips of the Son of God. I want you to see in the first place that the Lord places emphasis upon the heart. There's no dispute there. Blessed are the pure in heart. Notice how the Lord focuses in now upon the heart and he emphasizes the heart. He holds up the heart as being significant. His kingdom is not measured by geographical territory. It's not like the kingdoms of men. The kingdoms of this world will mark out their territory according to land and according to geography. But the Lord says, that's not my kingdom. The domain, the territory of my kingdom is the heart. The hearts of men. Fundamental difference between the Lord's requirement, the Lord's kingdom, the requirement of his kingdom, and the accepted religion of that particular time is here manifested. You see, Phariseeism, which the Lord addresses in the next chapter, chapter 6, it was all outward. It was all to do with outward ceremony and outward ritual. And the Lord says, my people are not like that. In fact, if you look at chapter 6, you'll see there in verse number 2, when he talks about giving alms, he says, this is what the Pharisees do. They do this in a public way to be seen of men, that they might have glory of men. You see that in verse 2? They are hypocrites. They stand in the streets, they perform their religious actions in public that they might have glory of men. And verse 5, the Lord says, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You're not to be like that. They only do this to be seen of men. Verse 8, be ye not therefore like unto them. The Lord here, when he puts the focus on the heart, he is setting in place the difference. Not only between his kingdom and the kingdoms of the world, but he's setting here the difference between his kingdom, his spiritual kingdom, and the religious atmosphere that prevailed at that particular time. It was one that was all outward. The outward appearance to be seen of man. But the Lord says, my kingdom concerns the heart. My kingdom affects the heart. True spirituality is not taken up with putting on an outward show to appeal to men. It is concerned only with what God sees and what God thinks. And the Lord said, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And doesn't that characterize much religion today? It's all outward. It's all to appear to the natural eye, to be seen of man, to have glory of men. It's all false. It's not of God. When the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart," he is describing the nature of his kingdom. It is a kingdom that focuses on the condition of the heart in the sight of God. The religion of Phariseeism was all outward, all to be seen of man, to have praise of men. But the Lord says, "My focus in my kingdom is the heart." He's looking at our hearts tonight. And that's an area, that's a domain that the eyes of men cannot see. Only the eye of God can see into the heart and discover the real person within. Now the Lord is setting in place here something that had already existed. It was the continuation of a requirement that had already been. Some people, when they read the Old Testament, they think that it was all just a religion of outward ceremony and no emphasis on the heart. They couldn't be further from the truth. Turn to Isaiah chapter 29. It's true that there was outward ceremonies. The people had to come to the tabernacle and then the temple. They had to bring outward sacrifices. Those things were seen, they were outward. But it wasn't the main part of true religion or true worship. In fact, the Lord said in the day of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, he says, "This people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me." And yes, they had their religious ceremonies. They fulfilled their religious rituals. But the Lord said, something's missing. The most important thing is missing, their heart. Because the Lord's emphasis is upon the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, applied not only during the earthly ministry of Christ. It was applicable all the way through the Old Testament as well. It is the heart that the Lord desires. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 29. The Lord says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me." It's the heart. You come into chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, and the Lord summarizes the Ten Commandments, the requirement of the law. Verse 5. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You see the focus upon the heart. The inward man, the whole man. Outward religion means absolutely nothing unless it is accompanied with the heart. It's the heart that the Lord's looking for. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and the verse number 26. "My son, give me thine heart." This is in the Old Testament. This is in the time when the people killed lambs and bullocks and goats and calves. This is during the time when they had all the outward ceremony. And the Lord says, "What I'm looking for is the heart. My son, give me thine heart." Let me ask you tonight, have you given the Lord your heart? "Ah, but I'm baptized, I'm confirmed, I go to church, I do good works." No, 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 no. The Lord says, have you given me your heart? It's the heart that the Lord is looking for. You turn to the book of Joel, the prophecy of Joel. I'm just giving three illustrations, one from the law, one from the Psalm section, and now from the prophets. The prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, and the verse number 12. Listen to what the prophet says, the Lord speaking through the prophet. "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Notice those characteristics, mourning. This is the mourning over sin. that has brought us into a state of spiritual bankruptcy. The very same traits that Christ speaks of in the Beatitudes. Notice the focus is on the heart. Verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn on to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repent of him of the evil. Notice the focus on the heart. And when we come to the New Testament, the focus is still the same. Turn to Psalm number 24, and I think you'll find here a connection between this verse and the sixth beatitude. Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Or we could put it like this, who will become a member of Christ's kingdom? Who are the members of Christ's kingdom? Verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. A pure heart. This is the requirement. And we cannot belong to Christ's kingdom unless we have a pure heart. This is what the Lord is saying. The emphasis is upon the heart. But you'll notice in the second place that the Lord reveals the standard that he requires. Not only is the focus upon the heart, but the standard that he requires is a pure heart, purity of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is the Lord's standard. That word that the Lord employs there literally means to be clean or to be free from every foreign admixture, from anything that contaminates, pure in heart. When it's used here in this text in reference to the heart, it means a heart that is single or a heart that is undivided, wholly inclined, wholly devoted unto the Lord. And yet again, the Lord is drawing this great distinction between his kingdom, his requirement, and what prevailed in religious aspects of that particular day. Phariseeism is described by the Lord as being hypocrisy. And the word hypocrite that the Lord uses in chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel comes from a word in the Greek language which means to divide. And the thought is, there is a division in a hypocrite. He says one thing, but he does another. He acts one way, but he's something else inwardly. There's a division. That's what the word hypocrisy means. The Lord is saying of his people, my people are not like that. My kingdom's not like that. There is a singleness of heart. The heart is pure, it's undivided in its loyalty, in its allegiance, in its inclination to the Lord. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 86 and verse 1, unite my heart to fear thy name. And when he prayed that prayer, what he simply meant was this, Lord, take all the faculties of my being, all the faculties of my soul, my will, my desires, my affections, and let them be united toward thyself. An undivided heart is the very opposite of hypocrisy. The word pure means to be clean from every defilement, from every corruption of sin, uncontaminated by sin. That's the Lord's standard. That's the standard of his kingdom. Now, anyone that will come to this sixth beatitude and ponder it seriously will surely feel their own inadequacy. When we're measured against this standard that the Lord sets up, we fall short. Because what the Lord addresses here is the very opposite of our fallen nature. There is nothing pure, there is nothing clean about our fallen nature. It's described as an unclean thing. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? There's no individual who has not been contaminated by sin. It is our very nature. And yet, isn't it interesting, the Lord doesn't lower the standard because of our nature or because of our experience. Instead, he intervenes to provide the remedy. When he talks about being pure in heart, he is inferring here the work of regeneration. Being born again of the Spirit. This is the great promise of the gospel. This is the provision of the gospel. Turn to the Old Testament scriptures again, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. And I'm seeking to show that what the Lord talked about in this sick beatitude and the Sermon on the Mount during his earthly ministry was simply a continuation of what had been taught and revealed during the Old Testament age. The focus on the heart, the standard being a pure heart that is clean without any admixture of sin or defilement by iniquity. The only way that can be brought about is by a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, the Lord says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." You see how the Lord talks about a new heart? Look at verse 23. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." He's not talking about literal water here. He's using it simply as an illustration to describe that work of the Spirit whereby he creates a new heart, a new nature, and that new nature is pure. It's undefiled. It's not contaminated by sin. If you turn back to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. The Lord speaks about this new covenant. And he says, "I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts." I will write it in their hearts. This is the gospel promise. When David sinned against the Lord and he was awakened to his guilt, he came before the Lord in Psalm 51 and he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." A clean heart. He recognized the Lord's standard as a pure heart. Free from all contamination of sin. And it is only brought about by the Spirit of God working in the heart. That's what regeneration is. It is the creation of a new nature, a new principle. Now that doesn't mean that the old nature is eradicated. It simply means that you have two natures in one body. And we need to be sanctified. Need to be purified. We need that work of the Spirit continually, whereby the old man is crucified and the new man is strengthened more and more. Well, this is the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose is to bring us from that place where we are characterized by the corruption of sin onto the place where we are characterized by absolute purity, conformity to His image. That's what Paul said in his letter to Titus. The Lord's great purpose in redemption, to redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, to purify. Blessed are the pure in heart. It begins with that work of the Spirit in regeneration. And it is carried on by the work of the Spirit. When you read this sixth beatitude, its purpose, I believe, is to draw us to the Lord. This is the Lord's standard. The Lord doesn't lower the standard because of our fallen nature or because of our experience of what we are. The Lord's standard remains the same. His kingdom focuses on the heart. His standard of that kingdom is a pure heart with no contamination of sin. He doesn't lower the standard. But rather it ought to draw us to Himself as David came to the Lord and cried, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You can see the emphasis on the heart. You can see the standard that the Lord requires. But notice the expectation that He gives to those who are pure in heart. They shall see God. What a profound statement. That ought to thrill the heart of every believer. In one sense, it's already fulfilled, partially fulfilled. The Bible tells us that Moses endured as seeing Him who is invisible. We've seen the Lord by faith. But I believe the Lord here is speaking of something much more. When a person is born again of the Spirit, and that new nature, that new heart is created within, they see God. They see God in creation. The beauty of the earth, the vastness of the expanse above, they all join together to reveal the glory and the majesty of God. And when a person is born again of the Spirit, something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. They see God in creation. And they see God in providence. Those things that happen to us, whether great or small, they're not chance happenings. They're not undesigned, meaningless events to the child of God. They are the wise disposing of a sovereign God, ruling, overruling all things for His glory and for our good. Blessed are the pure in heart. They see God in providence. And what a great blessing it is to see one who is in control of all things. But I believe the Lord is speaking here of a far greater prospect. The prospect of seeing God in Christ. Of that day that is yet coming when we will see the Lord in all the manifestation of His glory. Remember Job, in Job chapter 19, in the midst of his great trial. There he is sinking down in the depths of despair. At one point it seems as if those dark clouds have completely enveloped him, and all of a sudden his faith begins to shine and his soul begins to rise. And he says in that 19th chapter, the verse number 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another." He had this confidence. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And there's a day coming when we will see God in Christ. The Apostle John had the very same confidence in his first epistle, chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what a day that will be when we see the Lord. One of the most precious verses in all of Scripture, Revelation 22 and verse 4. His servants shall see his face. We will look upon his face. They shall see his face. And what a day that will be when we see the Lord. It's the prospect, it's the promise. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and that glory will so radiate the whole of the heavenly region. It will never dim, and it will never end. The Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But this beatitude also brings to our attention the cause of spiritual blindness. You think of so many people tonight round about us, and they don't see God in creation. They will do anything and everything to explain away the evidence of their Creator. They will argue upon the so-called infallible proofs of evolution, entangling themselves in the mists of irrationality and uncertainty. The Lord says the problem is their heart. The reason why they don't see God in creation is because their heart is impure. They're not pure in heart. And they cannot see God in providence. The world looks out over all the events of time and says they are chance. They are happenings by luck. Why do they speak like that? Because their hearts are not pure. Their hearts are sinful. The heart is blinded. And they cannot see God in Christ. They'll look upon Christ and say he was a good man. He was a great man. But they do not see him as the God-man. They're blind. The problem is the heart. Our greatest need is the need of the heart. The spiritual condition of the heart. The relationship of the heart to God. You can put man in a better environment. You can give him the best education. You can improve his economy. But his problem still remains. It is the problem of an impure heart. And that problem can only be remedied in the gospel. His need is a new heart, to be born again of the Spirit of God, to have that creation within of a new heart. And only God can create that heart. And only God has promised that creation in the gospel. The Lord is sketching here on the canvas of Scripture the marks of those, the traits of those, the portrait of those who belong to his spiritual kingdom. One of which is a transformation of their heart. To give them a new heart, clean heart, pure heart that sees God, that sees God in creation and providence, that sees God in Christ and will see God for all eternity. What's the condition of your heart tonight? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.